This is WEEI Late Night with Nick Cattles.
The last conversations for a trade that the Jets had were with the Miami Dolphins, were with the Las Vegas Raiders, the New England Patriots. They had conversations with those teams. The issue was nobody was willing to take on Le'Veon Bell's contract at this time. And so the Jets made the decision to move on from Le'Veon Bell.
I think we all learned a lot from just watching Tennessee, the incubation period and seeing how long that they had, positive tests here and there come up.
Oh, will you stop it, Tennessee Titans? Give me a break.
They hate us. They hate us. Oh, we did everything wrong.
Cut it out now. The outbreak. I know the NFL is trying to tell us that nobody was careless in Tennessee. Who actually believes that? Who actually believes that the only team in the NFL that has had a legitimate breakout, a legitimate outbreak, rather, of COVID-19, Who's sitting back saying, oh yeah, they did everything right, other than Roger Goodell trying to get past this story? And before I get into Le'Veon Bell, because I do want to talk about Le'Veon Bell tonight and whether or not you guys like the idea of the Patriots trying to bring him in, I was listening to Mutt at the end of his show, and he mentioned the difference between the Marlins and how people were all worked up and everybody knew how the Marlins outbreak actually began, and also the Cardinals, and why weren't we as in tuned with the NFL outbreaks and what happened with the Patriots and Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton. Of course, Adam Schefter says they had dinner together. Gilmore's wife says they did not have dinner together. Whatever. This is why, Mon. I'll tell you why. I will answer your question. Because of fatigue. Because people have been, to a point, desensitized with what's going on. Because the president had COVID-19. The president's younger son had COVID-19. The first lady had COVID-19. A lot of people that were in the White House had COVID-19. It's becoming something that doesn't necessarily stick out as much as it did in late July, early August. When the Marlins had their outbreak, it was the first professional sport that, a lot of people watched that had something like that happen here in this country. So I would think that's why. But that's neither here nor there. Just wanted to mention that little note at the top because I do want to get into Le'Veon Bell. He was released earlier today officially by the Jets. Of course, we heard last night that Bell was going to get released. This was after Bell went to social media and liked a couple of tweets and liked a couple of IG posts. He did not talk to his coach about his role. He instead went to social media. He didn't talk to the media about his role. He instead went to social media. He was not happy that he had one catch for 7 yards on Sunday. He has not been happy about the lack of his usage from really day one in New York. He thought he was going to be a different guy in a different offense, and that's not what happened. So Bell has been released. Here's ESPN's Dan Graziano with that information.
You say rocky relationship, and it was from the start, right? The coach, Adam Gase, who came in the same year, never really seemed to embrace Le'Veon Bell as the key part of his offense, and Le'Veon was used to being that in Pittsburgh, so had some issues with how he was used. You showed he wasn't very productive, and he comes off an injury this week, doesn't play as much as he wants to Sunday, and so he expresses disappointment to the front office. They have a conversation. They decide it's probably best to move on. They spend a couple days trying to trade him. Nobody's going to trade for his contract, so they end up releasing him. He'll be released at 4 p.m. Eastern today, and he'll be free to sign with any other team. And yes, that chapter in Jets history comes to a quick close.
It was an ugly, ugly chapter, honestly. Again, this didn't work from the very beginning. There were some issues between the GM and the coach when they first signed Bell, according to some reports. The coach and the GM did not see eye to eye bringing Bell in. Gase wasn't really a Bell guy. Mike Maccagnan was seen as a Bell guy. And of course, Maccagnan then was later dumped. They brought in Joe Douglas to be the new GM. So you had a running back that paid, I guess it was paid handsomely, but neither the GM nor the coach were really in his corner, and he wasn't being used the way he wanted to be used. So that all leads to today. And he has been released. And now, of course, the next question is, where is Bell going to end up? What's going to happen with him? Who is interested in him? And could New England actually be an option? Could the Pats be in on Le'Veon Bell? Well, that caught a little bit of fire earlier tonight when Adam Schefter said this.
at 4 o'clock today. The last conversations for a trade that the Jets had were with the Miami Dolphins, were with the Las Vegas Raiders, the New England Patriots. They had conversations with those teams. The issue was nobody was willing to take on Le'Veon Bell's contract at this time. And so the Jets made the decision to move on from Le'Veon Bell.
All right, so if it was a contract thing and not a player thing, now that Bell's been released, you have to imagine that the Patriots would be interested in Bell if they had those conversations with the Jets before Bell's release. Now, the one thing we've got to figure out here is whether or not the Jets called the Patriots or the Patriots called the Jets. There's a big difference between those two, right? If the Patriots called the Jets because they were interested in Le'Veon Bell, that tells you that the interest is genuine, it is legitimate, and we need to keep an eye on this. If it was the Jets calling the Pats about Bell, it's an entirely different scenario, because then that means the Jets were desperately calling a lot of teams trying to figure out if anybody was willing to take Bell. Would they want Bell? Would they give something up for Bell? Even if it was a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick, would they give up anything for Bell? And obviously the answer was no, because Bell was released today. So what should we think of all of this? And are you interested in Le'Veon Bell? If you were the Patriots, you're Bill Belichick, you're sitting in his office now that they're officially back at Gillette Stadium. You're sitting in the office, and the agent of Le'Veon Bell calls you. Bell's agent gets on the phone with you, and the agent says, Bill, Le'Veon wants to be a New England Patriot. What do you say to that? Do you say yes? Do you say no? Do you pass on Bell? I want your thoughts. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. What would you do if you were Bill Belichick and you knew that getting Le'Veon Bell onto your roster was possible, if not probable? Would you be interested? Do you think you'd make that move? Now, to me, I'll answer the question. I wouldn't. I would not make the move. I don't think it's necessary. Let's start with the idea of what you have on this roster already. How many times have we read about Damian Harris? How excited were people about Harris and what he did going back a couple of weeks ago? Everybody was thrilled to see Harris back on the field. We read about his camp. We heard about how great he looked. He was catching the football. He was running the football. He could actually be a stud number one running back for this team. And everybody was excited to see the young Damian Harris take the field and do damage. And that's precisely what Harris did. He gets on the field. He does damage. People are excited. But now we want to stunt his growth. Now we want to stunt Harris's growth by bringing in Le'Veon Bell. We want to push Harris to the back of the line. Well, maybe people would say, no, Nick, we'll push Sony Michel to the back of the line. Well, you invested a first-round pick in Michel. And Michel has shown flashes. He has not been consistently great by any means. But in the 2018 postseason, I don't think many people were complaining about Bell. Michel. The last time we saw Michel on the field, he was having one of his best games in recent memory. So you want to stunt the growth of these other running backs. J.J. Taylor. People love J.J. Taylor. People want to see more of J.J. Taylor. But we want to stunt the growth of Harris and Taylor and Michel. And people will say, well, Nick, Bell's better. He's just better. He's better. It's as simple as that. Well, I don't know. He hasn't done much with the Jets. Is that because it's the Jets? Maybe. Is that because Bell showed up reportedly out of shape last year, didn't take things necessarily serious, and because of that, he kind of slowed down, did not have the powerful finishes to his runs, did not have the explosion, wasn't the same guy? Some people will watch the film and say, no, he's the same guy. It's just a bad offensive line. What I know is Bell has had a ton of touches in his career. He was used a lot in Pittsburgh. He was the guy in that backfield. It was not running back by committee. It was bell cow, bell cow, bell cow. No doubt about that. He was the man in that backfield. So to bring in somebody who's 28 years old, has had a lot of touches from what we've seen of him over the past year plus, I don't know if he's the same guy. And I would much rather invest in the future. I would much rather see Harris out there to see what he can do. I want to watch Sony Michel to see if he has a hair across his ass because Harris is getting touches. I mean, you go back. Remember when the Patriots sat Michel for that drive and they decided to play Taylor instead? And Taylor was running all over the Raiders? What happened next? Michelle goes out there and he looks as good as he's looked in several months, if not a year. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think Michelle was driven by what he saw. He was driven by the idea that he might get benched, that he might no longer have the inside track. I don't think you need running back help here. I don't think you need help at that position. Now, people might argue and say, but he can play in the slot. Do you need help in the slot? I don't know, maybe. I mean, if you could find another wide receiver, I'd much rather do that than bring Bell in and try to play him full-time at receiver, try to play him at the slot position and say, well, that's going to be what he is for the majority of the time. I'd like to put Edelman in the slot. I'd like to try Gunnar Olszewski in the slot. I'd like to try the other running backs in the slot. How about Harris? We've heard that he can catch the football. How about Rex Burkhead? How about your guy James White? I mean, you've got five backs already who are solid NFL backs. They're not superstars. We don't know what Harris is going to be. Michelle is good. Burkhead is good in limited, you know, limited snaps and a limited role. You don't want to play too much of Burkhead because in the past he has shown that he's injury prone. But I don't see the need at running back. I don't, even if you played Bell from time to time in the slot. And by the way, the biggest reason why I'm not totally sold on Le'Veon Bell being a New England Patriot, would he be okay with the committee? Does Bell seem like a guy who would be just fine sharing snaps with a bunch of other running backs? Does he seem like that kind of guy? I was reading on Twitter earlier today that Bell, he's concerned. He's concerned. Yes, he wants to win. Of course he wants to win. But he also wants his touches. He wants his touches. He wants the football. So how does his personality fit in that locker room? You know, people at Gillette, would they be able to be okay with the idea of Bell walking in and wanting 20, 25 touches? And what happens if Bell doesn't get those touches? Is Bell going to be a distraction? Is Bell the guy that, again, goes to social media and he posts things on social media and he likes certain posts about how he's not getting the football? I don't know if Belichick would be all in on that. I'm not sold on the idea. I mean, he is somebody that has put himself in front of teams at least a couple of times throughout his career. And I just wonder if that's the kind of personality that Belichick wants in this locker room. Does he want him? I don't think he needs him. I think you've got plenty of backs, and I think if you're going to bring in somebody to play the slot, then go out and get a receiver that can play the slot. Go out and get Golden Tate. Call the Giants and say, hey, listen, we need another receiver, another legitimate receiver. Let's go out and get a guy. People talk about Le'Veon Bell. Listen, he's a very good pass-catching back, and he can run some slant routes. I don't know if he's running the New England route tree. I don't know if we need to get super excited about that. So your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell. Would you be okay with the Patriots signing him? I don't think they need him. Your thoughts at 617-779-7937. Of course, you can also text us at 37937. You can also follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. I'll tell you something else about this Patriots roster and what they actually need instead of an embarrassment of riches by bringing in a sixth running back. What they really need is a tight end. If we want to talk about investing into this roster right now and trying to upgrade it and add to a position that you need help at that position, it's tight end. Devin Asiasi, we talked about him early on in camp, right? Everybody was writing about Asiasi, and it looked like he was catching on very quickly and that he could actually be a difference maker. He could be the guy that makes us forget about that brutal 2019 tight end depth chart. Well, the hopes were high for Asiasi. The reality really has not shown itself, and he is not fulfilling that potential that we read about early on in camp. He's played 57 snaps. That's about a third of the snaps that Rob Gronkowski played at this point in his rookie season. So what's that tell you? That tells you the Patriots, they're not confident in Asiasi. They're not confident yet. He's playing a third of the snaps that Gronk played in his rookie season. So Belichick, he doesn't want to depend on Asiasi, at least not yet. That's what we know. If they actually believed that they could get Asiasi on the field and that he could make any kind of difference, he'd be playing more. So I don't know what to make of it. Maybe he turns this thing around. Maybe by week 8 or week 9, we're talking about Asiasi being a pivotal piece to this offense and actually bringing some life into the tight end position. But right now, I would say that is improbable. It's not impossible, but it's improbable. Then Dalton Keene, another guy that we thought, hey, they moved up to draft him, and he might play some H-back. The first couple of weeks, he's banged up. He's bothered by a neck injury. Maybe it's the neck, you know, that's getting in the way. Maybe they still really like Dalton Keene. Maybe by week 5 or 6, Keene will be doing something. Well, so far, not so much. He apparently got past the injury because he has not been on the injury report, but he's not out there. He's not active. He's not playing. He's doing nothing. So your two young tight ends, your two rookie tight ends that you invested in with the draft, they're pretty much a zero for you right now. And Ryan Izzo is what he is. He's a second tight end, maybe a third tight end on a deep team at that position. So you want to keep rolling Izzo out there? Like, everybody's in love with the Bell thing because of the name. But let's look at the substance. You know, if you could find a legitimate tight end to supplement the rest of this offense, that would be great, wouldn't it? Now you could attack the middle of the field. You can go down the seam, which McDaniels loves doing. We've seen them try to do it. Hoyer tried to do it a couple of times to Izzo. Didn't work out. One time it resulted in a pick. You can attack the seam, attack the middle of the field. You can also open up N'Keal Harry and Damir Byrd on the outside. And, you know, I think that's something that this offense needs. You need somebody in the middle of the field that is a pass-catching, bigger kind of guy, physical presence somewhat, that can get down the seam and do some things at that tight end position. Because if you have that guy, now you can get some one-on-ones with Harry, now you can get some one-on-ones with Byrd, or even more one-on-ones than they get right now, and you open up the outside numbers, and you say to yourself, okay, now we can beat you several different ways. It should also help you in the red zone if you have a tight end that's dependable. I mean, right now, they've got nobody. They've got Harry that they can target that is a big body in the red zone. They need somebody else to fill that role. They need another guy. They need Harry and somebody else. And if you bring in a tight end, you could be less reliable on Julian Edelman. And I think it's rather obvious that the Patriots are managing Edelman. They're managing his snaps because they don't think that he's the same guy. And of course he's not the same guy. He'll be 35 years old. It's tough. Not everybody is Brady going out there at 40 freaking three and looking like he's 33. Not everybody can pull that off. So if you find another tight end, attack the middle of the field, attack down the seam, opens up Harry and Byrd on the outside, and you can get somebody else aside from Harry that can help you in the red zone, and you don't have to depend on Edelman to make, you know, almost every big catch. And there are guys out there. If you're wondering, there are guys out there. Possible that, you know, some of these guys will be available by the trade deadline, which is now less than 3 weeks away. David Njoku, I know the Patriots, right? There were some rumors about that early on. Njoku's been banged up, but he might be out there. Zach Ertz might be out there. Evan Engram from New York might be out there. Now, I would say no to all three. Njoku, Engram, they are injuries waiting to happen. They have not been able to consistently stay on the field. The reason why I would say no to Zach Ertz is because he's got a contract kerfuffle with Philadelphia right now, and he has not looked like the same guy early on. That might be because they're short on wide receivers and everybody is covering Ertz. It might be because he's just slowing down after taking so many hits and being such a crucial piece to that offense. It might be because, I don't know, he's maybe a little bit of a curmudgeon because of the money. I have no idea. The guy I would be looking at, and I don't think it would cost you a ton, is Gerald Everett from L.A. I think he's somebody that you can bring in. He's athletic. He has shown flashes in that Sean McVay offense. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, so he's playing for the Schottel, which is always nice to see. Guys show up contract years. I wouldn't mind taking a swing at Gerald Everett. I really wouldn't. I think he would be an upgrade over Izzo. He'd be an upgrade over Keene, and then maybe Asiasi starts to figure it out. I think those other guys, you know, they're more talented than Everett. But they've got those questions. They've got the health questions. They've got the contract questions. All right, your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell. Do you want to see the Patriots go after Bell? Also, what do you think of tight end? Who do you want to go out and get? Njoku, Ertz, Ingram, Everett, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. Are you a yes or no on Le'Veon Bell? And I'll tell you why I think Belichick right now is infuriated. That's next on WEEI Late Night on a Wednesday with Nick Cattles.
93.7 FM, WEEI.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over.
Just to be clear, you guys are on track to continue working as normal right now?
Oh, we're on track to play on Sunday.
Yeah, that's all I got. We're on track. We're on track, okay? That's all I've got, and that's all you're going to get. Before I get to the idea of Belichick being infuriated, because I do think he is angry right now. I think he's stewing. I'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But first, my guy Nick Lappin let me know that Jeff Howe, a business friend of mine, I wouldn't say he's a personal friend, but I know Jeff a little bit, consider him a friend in the business. Apparently, he tweeted out earlier tonight that he believes the Jets called the Patriots about Bell, which, again, would not surprise me. It seems to me that there would be very little interest in Bell with his contract. I don't think the Patriots or any team, they were jumping at the front of the line to give the Jets a call and say, oh, yeah, we'll take Bell on. He's been almost useless for you, and he's still got, what, $6 million guaranteed on that deal? Sure. Yeah, we'd love to give up an asset for that guy. It would just seem like common sense that the Jets were calling teams and, you know, reached out to the Patriots, and the Patriots were saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And they know. Listen, the Patriots know. Every other team knows that Bell was likely going to be released because nobody was willing to give up an asset for, again, that contract and the little productivity that he had since starting with the Jets. I do have a couple of texts here before I get to Belichick being angry. 37937. As far as Le'Veon Bell, would you be interested in bringing him in if you were the Patriots? From the 978, nope, nope, nope. Keep that cowbell away. I was also talking about tight ends because I think it's rather obvious the Patriots are in a difficult position at that position right now. Asiasi has not done much of anything. He's played less than 60 snaps so far this year. Dalton Keene can't get on the field. And we all know what Izzo is. You know, he's a good, what, number two, more like a number 2B or 3 at that position. They're going to need help. And from the 802, Delanie Walker is still available. That's a name that I brought up early on, you know, before the season kicked off. And I tweeted about this at Nick C Radio. As soon as Walker was walking away, no pun intended, from Tennessee, I said, well, that's a guy the Patriots could be interested in, right? Yeah, he's had injury problems the past few years, but when he's healthy, all he does is produce. And he has produced with some mediocre quarterback play. I figured they'd be interested in him, but they're not. So that would tell me they're likely not going to bring him in. If they were interested in Delanie Walker, I think Walker would have already been in New England as part of this team and on the roster. From the 978, put Cam Newton at tight end, Stidham at quarterback. Yeah, no thanks. So let's get to Bill Belichick, who I think is very angry right now. I should mention that Cam Newton is back. We said that in the update, right? Cam Newton is back. He'll be at practice tomorrow. Stephon Gilmore reportedly will also be back tomorrow. For the Broncos, you've got Drew Locke. He's likely back. And Melvin Gordon, who knows what happens with him, did not sound like Vic Fangio was happy about the DUI and the speeding. So I'm not sold on the idea that Gordon will play this weekend. But, you know, we all get ready now this weekend, Broncos-Patriots, because last weekend, the game didn't happen. And the game didn't happen because, as we know, COVID-19. COVID this, COVID that. And Belichick doesn't usually show his hand. Hardly ever, right? He's been here for 20 years. He just never shows his hand. He never shows his hand to the media and press conferences. He really never shows his hand right here on Sports Radio WEEI with, you know, Glenn and the guys. He doesn't like to show his hand. He doesn't like for you to know how he feels. So I found this interesting. Earlier this week, Belichick was on with OMF, and here's how the discussion went.
It sounded like last weekend you had all protocol in place. You actually had two different planes, and you isolated certain guys on one plane. A report came out on Tuesday that you had requested more locker room space at Arrowhead Stadium. Christian has told us it's one of the smallest, along with Buffalo, smallest visitors' locker rooms in the league. Is that true? And if that's the case, did they explain to you why they couldn't, especially since there are very few fans, couldn't figure some rig up something where they could have some temporary locker room for you?
Yeah, again, you'd have to talk to the people that were involved in that. I really don't know. We tried to work through the logistics that we can control, which was our travel and the hotel stay, the buses and so forth. The stadium facilities and all that, that's handled through the league and the home team and so forth. So, I don't know. I can only speak to our stadium. I can't really speak to anybody else's.
So that's your kind of run-of-the-mill Belichick answer. That's what we expect from him, right? Yeah, you know, that's up to the league. It's not really up to me. And, you have to talk to the league. And that's your usual Belichick 101. But then Glenn had a follow-up.
It seems to go against all logic of what everybody was doing. You talk about everybody trying to do the right thing, and certainly in most cases it seems that way. This seems to go against that, right, with people that close to each other?
Well, it's a small locker room. There's no doubt about it.
Right there, right? The little nugget. Now, it might not seem like much of anything, but I think it was Belichick telling us how he really feels. I think that is a hint. That is Belichick dropping that little nugget for us, just wanting to make sure, hey, all right, Glenn asked the follow-up. I'm going to let you know. Yeah, it's tight. It's small. It's small for sure. That locker room is small. And he's telling us, what do you think he's telling us? He's telling us, yes, with the situation, the circumstances that we were dealt, we wanted Kansas City to help us out a little bit. We wanted the NFL to help us out. And we asked for more space. And for some inexcusable reason, the NFL said, no, we're not going to accommodate you, which is just outrageous, right? You can put the Patriots up in suites before the game. You can get some tents. Andy Hart said this to me on Saturday morning last weekend, and it was a great point. How about just getting a couple of, those big tents, those heated tents? Anything. The NFL's a multi-billion dollar corporation, and they could not help. They couldn't extend themselves for a team that took two planes to Kansas City because one plane had to have the people who might be sick because they were closer to Cam than others? What? Like, that's the situation, and you could not help them with extra space? Outrageous by the NFL. And Belichick is not going to go all hellfire and brimstone on us Kane style on, because he's got other things he's got to worry about. He's not going to make it his personal mission to call out the NFL. It's just not really what he does for the most part. Sometimes he will. Sometimes, especially if he thinks something's as crazy as, Deflategate. But, when you look at Bill, he's not going to go too far. What you heard when he said, yeah, it's small, that right there to me was an admission. That was an admission. It was too tight. It was too tight in that locker room. It was too tight given the circumstances. In the NFL, they were unrelenting, unwilling to help us out. We were bending over backwards to help this league. We were bending over backwards to not bitch and moan and complain and to show up in Kansas City on two planes, fly there, play the game, fly back home, a 22-hour workday. We were willing to do all of that. Did not put up much of a stink, said no excuses, didn't complain about the NFL, none of that stuff. We went and did our job. We were competitive against the Chiefs, and you were unwilling to help us. Screw you. There was a little bit of that, no doubt about it. And then I heard Adrian Phillips and what Phillips had to say today about Bill Belichick's approach to this entire COVID-19 situation. Okay, I guess we don't have Adrian Phillips. So Phillips just mentioned, you know, when he was talking to the media earlier today, he said that Belichick, I'm paraphrasing, but he's there for the guys. He's there for the guys. He's not there for the NFL. He's not there just for his job. That Belichick comes across as somebody that cares about his players. He cares about their well-being. He cares about their families. And I think, you know, as Phillips makes that remark to the media, it means something. It means a lot. Because you've got these players who are, you know, infuriated by the situation. Belichick's not happy. He's trying to get the NFL to help him. They won't help him. So the players feel like they have somebody in their corner with Belichick. And I just have to, imagine that Belichick is disgusted by the NFL right now. Because think of how they're handling COVID-19. I couldn't care less how you feel about COVID. I'm not getting into political conversations and all that garbage. I know you don't want it. You don't need it. So I'm not going to give it. But let's just look at this from a common sense standpoint, how the NFL has handled this. And think about who Belichick is and how he handles his business. He is incredibly detailed, right? Incredibly detailed about everything. And you've got the NFL not even paying attention to the incubation period until this week when all of a sudden they changed. Oh, now we are going to respect the incubation period for this infectious disease. You know, Belichick, he knows that stuff. He's looking at this saying, I've read this. Like, I know some of these details. And you guys aren't paying respect to any of these details. Belichick is also what? He's also very prepared. His preparation going into a work week, it's tough to top from what we've heard, what we've read, and what we've seen. Do you think the NFL has been prepared throughout this entire COVID thing? Does it feel like the NFL had 6 or 7 months to put a plan together? No. I mean, they changed their testing strategy right before the season kicked off. They wanted to not do daily testing. They wanted to do daily testing for 2 weeks when camp opened up, and then after the initial 2 weeks, they were going to test every other day. Then they changed. They changed last minute. Then you look at the scheduling. You know, you have two teams affect 8 teams last weekend. Crazy. All the machinations, all the differences that, you know, all the things that were changed within the schedule because the NFL couldn't figure it out. Like they didn't attack this. They did not put together multiple bye weeks. They don't want to put a week 18 at the end of the season just in case games have to get postponed. They don't want to put a week 19 at the end of the season. So a coach that is so prepared is looking at the league and saying, these guys are flying by the seat of their pants. They're almost making this up as they go. A guy who is so detail-oriented as a coach is looking at this and saying, they don't even care about the incubation period. They don't even know what the hell's going on here. It's truly outrageous. Belichick, what else does he do? He follows the data. The NFL following the data? If the NFL was following the data, there's no way that Belichick's Patriots would have to play the Chiefs when they had to. There's just no way. And could you imagine what Belichick is thinking when he hears Troy Vincent on the league phone call yesterday saying that the league isn't even really thinking about the postseason bubble and that they want to keep things as they are? What? You're not even thinking about it? You're not coming up with some kind of contingency plan, or you don't want to admit it? Because if you admit that you are thinking of having a postseason bubble, that might be an admission of being wrong about your regular season approach. Or maybe you're just being the arrogant, stubborn NFL and you don't want to bend in any kind of way and you want to continue to push this narrative that, hey, full speed ahead, we're not going to change anything. We're going to be the only pro sports league in this country that didn't change a thing. You got bubbles for the NHL, you got bubbles for the NBA, you got bubbles for the WNBA, you had a bubble for the MLS to start things off, baseball chopped the season down to 60 games, they're doing a bubble for their postseason. Not the NFL, though, because the NFL is arrogant. Arrogant. Or maybe they're just cheap. Maybe they don't want to spend the money that it would cost to get these teams into a bubble. They try to say, oh, it's mental health. Mental health? Listen, I'm not going to give the shaft to mental health. I've had personal experiences with some mental health issues with my family and myself. So I'm not going to overlook that. I'm not going to make fun of that. Mental health when you're isolated is 100% a thing. Anxiety and depression and all of those things are absolutely legitimate to be concerned with. But when you see the NBA, these guys are in the bubble for 3 months, and you're trying to tell me that the NFL can't have a playoff bubble for 4 weeks, for 5 weeks? It just doesn't add up. And I've got to imagine that Belichick is just looking at all of this saying, what are we in the middle of? What in the world are we in the middle of? 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. Thanks to my guy, Chris, from Ashburnham. He's been listening to the show. I appreciate you, man, at 37937. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Nick C Radio. We have an update, actually. We have an update on Le'Veon Bell and where he might be headed. Also coming up, injuries are going to be an issue for the Bruins. And what is Don Sweeney doing? This is WEEI Late Night with Nick Cattles. There's a place off Ocean Avenue where I used to sit. All right, before we get to the Bruins, let's give you an update on Le'Veon Bell. Let's see, just a little while ago, Bob Fesco, who is, in case you're wondering, he is a host, morning host on 610 Sports Radio in Kansas City. And he tweeted out that Le'Veon Bell is expected to decide tonight or tomorrow morning where he will sign. Fesco says he's been told it's between the Chiefs and four other teams. Stay tuned. Ah, that's what we call a tease in the biz. So it's between the Chiefs and four other teams. Earlier tonight, I said, I don't necessarily need to see Bell in a Patriots uniform. I don't think it's something that's needed. I think they have other holes to fill, other needs on this roster. I'd like to see Damian Harris continue to get his shot. I'd like to see Sony Michel. I'm not dead on Michel yet. J.J. Taylor has shown some flashes. And people say, hey, throw him in the slot. You can throw Bell in the slot. I think you could throw a lot of people in the slot that are on the Patriots right now. They don't necessarily need a slot guy. And if you want to go get somebody that can play the slot, go get an actual receiver that can play the slot and play outside. Go out and get somebody like Golden Tate who can play both. He can play inside on the slot, and then he can play outside. He's done that. So I don't think Bell is the guy. This happens every time, right? This happens every time. And I have to imagine it's not just here in Boston. It's not just Patriots fans. It's every time somebody that has a name, any kind of name, even if that name was more worthwhile 3 years ago than it is right now, you know, people want to jump on it. Oh, Le'Veon Bell. And I'm not saying that Bell is done. I think he played for a team that's been bad at football, which seems to me not to be a good thing when your job is to play football. The Jets just haven't been good. That offensive line's been trash. I don't think they need a fifth or sixth running back on this team to be added to the roster. I really don't. So we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, if Bell makes his decision tonight, we will let you know. Let's talk some Bruins. I know my guy Nick Lappin, he wants to talk Bruins. I want to talk Bruins. Let's start with the news that we got about Pasta and Marshy yesterday, along with McAvoy. Pasternak has a hip labral surgery going on. He's out for 5 months. Marshawn obviously had a sports hernia. He is going to be out for 4 months. McAvoy, a lot less worrisome. It's a scope. And listen, a scope is a scope. He's going to have some trouble moving around for a few days. But come on, athletes get scopes all the time. So it's really Pasta with the hip issue, the labral issue, most of all, out 5 months. And then Marshy out 4 months with that sports hernia. And if the NHL sticks to their plan, which is to drop the puck on January 1st, if they stick with that plan, that would tell you the timeline that Marshy would be out 2 weeks. And if you look at Pasta, he would be out the first 6 weeks. So that's what the Bruins are looking at, which obviously is not great. It's going to affect their top line. And it, you know, you've got now Bergeron and Bergeron only. So the top line is impacted significantly. 5-on-5 is impacted significantly. If you look it up, Pastrnak and Marchand, they are, you know, a combined 46 of the 137 5-on-5 goals that the Bruins scored last year. So that's a pretty good chunk. 46 of the 137 came from Marchand and Pastrnak. So, you know, a team that is desperate to find help when it comes to, you know, 5-on-5 scoring, and they've got some of that now at Smith, which I'll get to in a minute, but a team that's already trying to find some help there, 5-on-5, it's obviously going to be just another significant hit for this team to lose both of those guys. The power play. I mean, so you lose Krug off the power play. Now you lose Marshy and Pasta off the power play. So they're going to have to figure out ways early on in the season to kind of stay afloat and get some offensive punch. And maybe it will be moving Craig Smith up to the right wing on the top line. Maybe you even think about putting Stanicker on there at some times for some shifts. Bjork, I'm sure, might be able to jump up and play some shifts. It's not going to be what we're used to. That's for sure. And now you're looking at this offseason, and a lot of Bruins fans, and I understand why, they're feeling it a little bit. They're feeling it. You know, Pasta, Marshy, McAvoy, all banged up, all getting surgery. You lost Krug to free agency on a deal where a lot of people thought, you know, $6.5 million, that's not that bad. I think a lot of us, including myself, thought the Bruins were going to get blown out of the water for Krug. They weren't. And then Krug comes out and says that he hadn't really been given an offer for like the last year, and that the offer that he had was actually pulled. It sounds like the Bruins didn't want Krug. I mean, that's what it sounds like. You don't give the guy a new deal for the last year. It's not even a negotiation. You know, and then some reports, again, some reports say that an offer was on the table, but the Bruins pulled it in like the 23rd hour. But $6.5 million per for Krug, that's not crazy money. So they're surprised there. Now, they added Craig Smith, and I think Smith is going to help this team. He's somebody that's going to score you at least, you know, 20 goals a year. That's what he's done. He's a 20-goal-a-year kind of guy. I think he fits perfect on the third line with Coyle and Bjork. I like that line, and he can help you in a number of different ways. I mean, when you look at what he can do, first of all, and I know this sounds cliche and all of that, but he gets pucks on net, and that's something that this team needs to do more often. So he takes shots. He takes shots. He takes lots of shots. You know, he will continue to try to pepper the goalie, which is something they need. They really, really need. So I think he's able to help this team in a number of different ways, but now the addition of Smith, it's not as sexy because of what's going on with the top line. Because now you feel like you need at least somebody else, right? And I know we heard about Hall, and Hall didn't happen. And I was talking about, you know, Sweeney during the break with Nick behind the glass. And, you know, we're saying what everybody's saying, but it's so true. How many times do we have to hear that Don Sweeney is in on somebody only for him to swing and miss? And when you look around him, the Bruins need more, and the well is drying up. You know, Josh Anderson, gone to Montreal. Tyler Toffoli, gone to Montreal. And by the way, the latter on a deal that was $4.25 million a year. Not bad. I mean, we kept hearing about how the Bruins were interested in Toffoli. They're interested in Toffoli. And then what happens? He signs a modest deal with the Canadiens, and the Bruins are nowhere to be found. We keep hearing today, oh, well, the Bruins, they were really interested in Anderson before he went to Montreal. Stop being the bridesmaid. Actually be the freaking bride. And now we hear about, well, maybe, just maybe it's Mike Hoffman. Maybe they'll bring in Hoffman. And, you know, if they go out and they bring somebody in like Hoffman, well, okay. I mean, that's something, right? I mean, he'll help. Again, you talk about scoring depth, and your hope is that Pasta, and then, you know, you've got Smith on the third line with Coyle and Bjork, and maybe you can slot Hoffman in there. And you know, now you don't have as much pressure on Kasha and not as much pressure on Stanika, and you feel a little bit better. But it's tough to feel good as a Bruins fan right now. It really is, right? I mean, it's tough because you keep talking about what they can do and what they should do, and dudes just keep flying off the board. And you're wondering what's happening here. Like, what is Sweeney doing? Whether it's free agency or it's a trade, he seems to always be late to the game. He seems like he's pulling up his chair with his chips when the game's over, when everybody's cashed out and they're going home. Sweeney pulls up the chair and everybody's like, oh, see you next time, Don. He's like, wait a minute, what? I was told there was a game. Yeah, there was a game 5 hours ago. Yeah, 5 hours ago, Don. While you were taking your nap, snoring, we were having the game. We were actually playing. So enjoy your chips. Enjoy your chips. So you can then, because you were late to the poker game, now you can try to, you know, stumble and bumble and fumble your way towards the trading deadline, because now you got those chips and now you're desperate to give away some chips to bring in guys that don't really help all the time. You have a sketchy record at the trading deadline. And so it's frustrating. It's frustrating because this team has a dwindling window. You're not, you know, Krejci's 34. Rask in his 30s. Marchie in his 30s. Obviously, Bergeron in his 30s. You've got a window that is closing every single day. And everybody got excited last weekend because Sweeney delayed his press conference until, you know, the day after he was supposed to do it. And everybody said, oh, this has got to be something big. Again, I don't want to make Craig Smith sound insignificant. I like the signing. I think he helps this team. But this team needs a lot more. This team especially needs a lot more on the blue line, which I'm going to get to a little bit later on in the show, because I have no idea what the hell they're doing. No idea. No clue what their plan is at the blue line. If you know, help me out. I mean, throw me a life raft or something. Throw me a life preserver, because I've got no clue what they're doing. I mean, they have a team that, you know, listen, I know there's been the battle of, do you reset? Do you try to tweak and make one more run? I'm in the one more run camp. I think this team is talented enough. You add some secondary scoring. You figure out what you're doing to replace Krug. And don't put a Band-Aid on that damn thing. Figure it out. Get Rask back in here. Yes, I'm a Rask guy. Statistically, one of the best goalies in the game. Yes, I'm a Rask guy. And no, I'm not going to hold a family emergency against him. Okay? Not going to do it. This team has a chance. But, you know, they've got to get bigger. They've got to get more physical. And they need to be better 5-on-5. One of the best teams when you talk about penalty kill, power play, goalie play. The best top line in the game when they get it truly cranking. I mean, they've got talent. But they're not supplementing it the way they need to. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Nick C Radio. Speaking of moves, the trade deadline is less than 3 weeks away in the NFL. What could the Patriots do? What should the Patriots do? My thoughts next on WEEI Late Night on a Wednesday with Nick Cattles.